Yeah, looks like we are.
Okay, great. You did it. First try. Good job.
I mean, the counter's going, so I'm going to assume that means. I'm just waiting to see.
Yeah, and I just got the notification.
Oh, that's why I didn't see it, because I got ads for McDonald's. That'd be why. Okay.
Oh, there you go. Well, they got anything good right now?
Did they drop their, like, weird Wickdonald's thing they were doing? The anime thing?
I don't know. I've seen that on Twitter a bit, but I wasn't really, like, following along.
You weren't following the intricate anime of McDonald's, of all places? How dare.
Surprisingly not.
Call yourself a connoisseur.
Considering the amount of times we've talked about the McDonald's land characters, surprisingly not. How you been doing, John? It's been like 3 weeks.
Oh, God, it's been that long since I've been on? Oh, my God. Where was I? Off of my own head? I don't remember.
I don't remember. You're just busy.
I think I missed last week because... Why did I miss last week?
I don't remember.
So it was clearly very important.
I think you had like a friend or something. Maybe I don't remember either. But maybe
I remember 2 weeks ago I met up with someone. I'm trying to remember what I did last week. This is how little I had to drive Reese to the airport. That's what it was.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So yeah, last week was driving Reese to the airport. The week before was hanging out with a friend, and I guess that was 2 weeks. So 3 weeks here now.
And then we traded Paul for you to get you back. I don't know where Paul is, but he's not available today. So hope things are good on his end.
That was for your throne controllers. I mean, those are on Wednesdays, usually.
Okay. Well, what you been up to? Anything exciting worth talking about?
Sleeping. So I took a couple days off, and it's basically me trying to catch up on my sleep.
Okay.
But I can't because I own a cat. A cat that likes to go outside. Mm-hmm. So Bagel has woken me up at like 7:30 every morning, which normally wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, that's what I when I wake up.
Yeah, but I go to bed at like 4 a.m. So
okay, yeah. So I go to bed at like 10.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Yep.
So Bagel keeps waking me up, and now because it is in the minuses and snowing and like wet snow, he's not always wanting to go out. So he'll just complain and knock over stuff, so I can't get back to sleep normally. So I've not been sleeping the best for the last couple days.
The last I heard about Bagel, because there was the whole thing where he like ran away for a couple days, and then I thought you had decided you're not going outside anymore.
We had decided that, but he literally was making himself sick and disheveled because he couldn't go outside. He was literally giving himself a panic attack, so we had to cave and let him go outside, but he goes outside only with a GPS collar on him, so we can track where he is in case anything happens.
Nice. Okay, that's smart. That's smart. That's also an asshole move on Bagel's part, but the GPS collar, very smart.
Yeah, I mean, like, he was feral, like, when we adopted him. He had been feral for months, so it's kind of on us, but we also made the mistake of letting him get outside, and after that, we were doomed, so.
Sure. Right on. Okay, well, I have a bunch to talk about. Let's start the show because it's game related. Top Down Perspective for March 21st. I'm Sean Booker.
John Wheeler.
And this week was GDC. Paul's riding the ball. This week was GDC for me.
Now tell me all about this because I didn't realize you had like a full blown press pass for this. I thought you were just kind of casually checking it out.
No, I've had a full press pass for a while now. This was cool. Like, I went to a bunch of different events, including Day of the Devs, which gets put on by IM8-Bit and Double Fine. So Tim Schafer's there. And it's fun going to these events now after having watched the Psychonauts, 40-hour documentary, because there's so many people I recognize from that thing where I'm like, you're the animator at Double Fine. You're the concept artist at Double Fine.
Blah, blah, blah. So I know all about you.
Yeah, because they've been on a bunch. But yeah, Day of the Devs, The Mix is another indie showcase that goes on during GDC. Then, of course, there's the GDC show floor itself. Nintendo had a press meeting, and so did Xbox the day before. Nintendo gave us like Switch branded Stanley cups, which I guess is a big deal.
Wow. Yeah. Like, Stanley's a pretty popular brand right now. So
the social team at work was like losing their mind when I mentioned it to them. And they were like, you need to send us photos of this.
Give us the mug. Give us the mug, Sean.
So I don't get what the big deal is with the Stanley mugs, because they're one of those like water bottles that has a like a built-in straw. So yeah. Inherently it'll get dirty a lot faster than one without the straw, right?
But they're so tough.
They're also it's very tall. Like, holy smokes, it's a really big cup. But the straw thing is like, I don't want to use this. Like, I don't want to have to do extra cleaning. All my water bottles are just like, screw the top off. You know, I have like an algae.
Yeah, like same as mine.
Yeah, exactly like that. Yeah, it's less cleaning. I've also heard that like Stanleys aren't even really that good. They're just popular.
I never really heard much bad about them. But like even Limex says, Dad says it's like the most sold item on Amazon last month.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't. But anyways, so I have a Stanley, I guess, now. It's sitting at my desk. So I don't know. I just thought that was kind of fun. A really cool event I got to go to was the IGF Awards and the Game Developers Choice Awards. This happens on Wednesday night. I missed it last year, which was the first year I got invited to it, because last year I did GDC and PAX East, both of them, meaning I flew out Wednesday evening and got to miss it. So I'm not doing PAX East this year. So I wanted to go to the award show. And that was really cool. Just like getting to like be in the whole press section, and there's game developers there, people that like worked on Zelda from Japan being there and stuff like that.
Nice.
And getting to just, see the award show. That was very cool. Much like the Game Awards, whenever I'm like presently watching these award shows or even just like online, I just get like so excited about all these great games that are winning that I always end up buying a game through my phone by the end of the night at some point. Like, I remember Game Awards, this most recent one, I bought Case of the Golden Idol, like immediately, still have yet to launch it. Last night I bought Once Upon a Jester when it won Best Student Game. Hopefully I'll launch that soon. But GDC was cool. I really like the Alt Control booth, which is, for those who don't know, it's alternative control styles for video games that usually students have made. So it'll be like, there was one where they had like a fake Coca-Cola bottle and you shake it up just like you'd expect. And then you have like 5 seconds to shake it as many times as you can. And then you watch the screen, how the pressure, which planet did it get to?
Nice.
So that's just kind of a fun little quick one. There was one where it was just like a kart racing game, but you're on a physical wheelchair and you have to like wheel it
to move
the cart. Which that looked really fun. I was excited to do it. I waited in line. I sat down in the chair and broke it.
Oh no.
I don't actually think it was something like me sitting down did, but when I sat down, the like left wheel was no longer registering. And we were like, okay, sorry, we'll come back. And like, we came back later and there was just a screen saying like BRB glues drying. Oh. So these things are like held together by like duct tape. So I did not get to do the wheelchair one. There was one, it's just called Competitive Waffle Game, where you and another person both have like waffle presses, and one person is like making waffles and sending it to the other person, and that person has to, by like slamming the waffle iron, chew the waffles, and then you switch back and forth, and then it scores points on how well you do. That one was really cool. There was a toilet racing game where they had these toilet seats that had like sensors on the seat. So when you would like lean, that's how you would steer. And then they had a plunger in front of you, and that would be forward and backwards. Yeah. So there's just that those booths are always super fun. So I always like going to those. Those are a good time. But yeah, GDC is a lot of fun. I'm tired though. Like, I did like 5 different events over the course of 4 days. So after last night, which was my last one, the award show, I was like, I'm glad I'm done GDC for now.
Nice. Well, still sounds like you had a fun ass time though.
But I do want to call out a couple games that I did play when I was there that I think are worth like keeping your eye on. I got to play Hyper Light Breaker. It's super early, but that seems like a really cool roguelike that they're making. So I'm very excited for how that's shaping up. I thought it looked visually really good, and they were like, we don't even have like anywhere near final art. So that's going to be a very good looking game when it's done. One that was really cool, and I'm forgetting what it's called now. It was Echo something. Let me see if I can look it up. So ID, this was at the Xbox One. Let's see, GDC Echo. And of course, this isn't going to show up, is it?
I think I know the game you're talking about, but I have no idea what the name of the game
was.
Is
it Echo Chrome? Echo Weaver. Echo Weaver. This is a Metroidvania that you have all your abilities at the beginning. You just don't know how to, like, as a player, use them yet. It's not just like if you hit right trigger, you're going to be able to do it. It's like a lot of the times it's like you need to hold like a couple buttons while you're jumping to do the ability. So it is something the game's going to have to tell you, but technically you do have all the abilities. But what's really cool about it is similar to like games like Minute or Outer Wilds, there's a timer going down and you have to play as far as you can through this Metroidvania before the timer goes down. There are plenty of like kind of item pickups that will extend the timer, but there are also doors and obstacles that you have to spend time to open. And then you'll open up like shortcuts back. So it'll be like, okay, now I can get to this section a lot quicker. So I don't have to worry about, you know, making sure I have 5 minutes to get here. It'll just take 30 seconds next time I start the loop over and over again. And it's a Metroidvania. That one was really cool. That's again, that's Echo Weaver. It has a cool art style as well. So I'd highly recommend giving that a look. And then the other one, this was at the ID at Xbox booth, was called, was it Luna Abyss?
I think it sounds like a game.
Yeah, Luna Abyss. This is a Doom-like, like a, you know, a boomer shooter, but it's also like if Returnal was a first-person shooter, because the whole game is like, a lot of this demo was like black and white and red, and all the enemies shoot like colored balls at you, similar to like Returnal is kind of like a bullet hell game if it was like a roguelike shoot, a third person shooter. So this one looked great. I loved the font, the UI and everything. This one looked very far along. So I'm kind of surprised they have no announced release date yet. But if you liked games like Returnal or just like even Doom and stuff, I think this will do a lot for you. Again, that's Luna Abyss.
Those all sound real good. Hell yeah.
Those are probably like the games that really stood out to me. Yeah. Oh, the last one I'll call out over on Nintendo's was
Princess Peach Showtime.
Zao game. It was at the Game Awards. That wasn't there. They just had like indie games. Tales of Kenzara Zao. That's that Metroidvania that was shown off at the Game Awards. That seems really cool too. I don't think I'm going to play it on the Switch though, because it wasn't running or looking particularly great. But it's coming to everything, so don't worry about it. That was funny. Everything that Nintendo kind of had, it was like, I don't think I'm going to play any of these on the Switch, but it's cool that they're coming to the Switch for someone, I guess. I was trying to think if they had anything exclusive. Epic Mickey Remastered was there, so I guess that's...
No, it's not. Yeah.
Actually, that's not exclusive either. They said that's coming to all consoles. Yeah, I don't know. There's not a lot of exclusives coming to the Switch.
Yeah, I mean,
which I guess we kind of knew about.
Sony's in the same boat
for this year.
Microsoft's in a similar boat. Like, it's real Sony's quiet on the boat. Front from all three right now. Well, quiet.
That's true. Well, Sony has Rise of Ronin coming out this Friday. That's exclusive. I don't know about later in this year though. When's the Stellar Blade? That's exclusive for Sony, right? I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, Sony came up first.
Blade is, yeah, just PlayStation 5.
Okay, I confused that with a different game. Never mind, yes.
I don't even know when that's coming out. That's next month. So I guess later in the year, hopefully people have something. Nintendo has Paper Mario, right? That's still coming.
Paper Mario and Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. So yeah, two remakes.
But in terms of new stuff, all we know is Peach, which is tomorrow.
Yes.
Are you excited for that?
I'll pick it up and try it.
I hear no one talking about it. I think the reviews are out.
The demo came out and apparently it's pretty like easy, so.
That's what I was hearing. Yeah, so the game is out. Or, sorry,
reviews?
Some reviews are out. I'm seeing easy a lot in these like short little descriptions.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Apparently they got the Goemon game director came back and did this. It's Good Feel, which also did like Kirby's Epic Yarn. So very easy, very laid back games.
That was one of the questions, is which like internal studio was doing this, because it hadn't been announced, so that was a big question.
Yeah, Good Feel is confirmed to be the ones behind it. So they did all the Epic Yarn games.
Cool. But yeah, okay, so that was GDC. I'll talk about some non-GDC games in a bit, but how about you? Have you been playing stuff in the last few weeks?
Nah, you know what I did instead? I finished that Lego Pac-Man kit. You can see it. Oh, actually, it might have been on screen.
I can see it, but yeah.
You can see it, but I don't think they can see it. But yeah, no, I finished it. Oh, it's just barely on screen. It's like the very, very left on my side. That thing was kind of neat, actually. Like, it was a cool build. It wasn't that hard. A bunch of like the screen moves around if you use a crank on the side, where like you can see Pac-Man running around and some of the ghosts. It's actually really cool.
That's awesome. So can you play Pac-Man or
on it? No, because it's a Lego.
Okay.
It's a Lego thing, but like.
Yeah, I know, but I just know there's like some movement, so I was wondering if there was like any.
Nah, it's just like the Mario one, where like it's just like a scene on a railing, and it's just like you can just watch it happen.
Sure.
So, yeah. That was fun, though. I'm debating working on another kit because I got a bunch of extra kits over there. I've got the Atari 2600 kit to do next. But I have been basically just like, I have a backlog of games I haven't cataloged for the collection, like the box stuff. Okay. So I'm just working through that slowly.
Okay, cool. Nice. And so you said you had several Lego kits, but you think Atari would be the next one if you were to jump in?
Yeah, I've got the Atari 2600 kit. I've got the question mark block kit and the Bowser kit. The Bowser kit I'll probably do on stream. The question mark block I was 50-50 on, and yeah, the Atari one's probably just for me.
Okay, nice. Very cool. Well, then let me talk about Dragon's Dogma 2.
All right, let's hear about it.
Because
that also comes out tomorrow.
That comes out tomorrow. Peach comes out tomorrow, and Rise of the Ronin comes out tomorrow.
I think there's a fourth still game playing too. Through. I saw four pictures.
Maybe something else. I think Horizon's PC version.
Oh man,
I don't know if that
might be
a big one. I still got Final Fantasy. Like, there's so many games right now. They just came out of nowhere. My goal is to beat Final Fantasy before my trip in May. So I got.
Well, I mean, that gives you a month. So,
yeah, but it's a 100-hour game. I think it's doable. I'm like 40 hours in, but okay. Anyways, Dragon Dogma 2. People were listening to the show last week. This was the game I couldn't talk about yet. The reviews came out, I think, yesterday. This morning, I think it may have been yesterday. Pretty glowing. I'm not anywhere near as glowing as these other reviews, so I feel like I'm missing something.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, like I'm finding the combat to be pretty difficult. I specifically chose an archer character because I was like, I could just do sword and shield, but that just seems kind of boring. Let's do something a little different. And I do like the abilities of the archer, but the enemies are just like really strong. So I don't know if I'm just like doing it wrong or what it is. I know Dragon's Dogma, I didn't play a ton of the first game, but it's all about like big creatures that you can jump on and climb on them, kind of Shadow of Colossus style, and attack them that way, which isn't really a great idea as an archer.
No.
Like, because like eventually they get out of their kind of stun lock and then start whacking you. And that's the last place my archer wants to be, is near the enemy. But anytime I find one of those enemies, they have so much health that it just seems like there's no way I'm supposed to be fighting this right now. So that's odd. Like,
it sounds very Monster Hunter like in a way, which would make sense. It's Capcom.
Yeah, I could see that a bit. And you do also like the other thing with Dragon's Dogma is you summon these pawns, which are basically like. Not exactly randomized characters. From what I understand, they are technically other players, like sidekicks for lore reasons, they can travel like between dimensions and worlds or something like that. And you kind of get one for yourself that will level up alongside you. And then the other ones that you pick up, they won't level up, and you're supposed to just like send them on their way and summon stronger ones as you're leveling up, so that you're kind of constantly like cycling through them. So you do have like a crew the whole time going, but we always seem so friggin' weak against these big creatures that like I'm avoiding them, which is a bummer because the big draw is like climb on this huge wolf man. And it's like, no way, he has 3 health bars. And if he hits me once, I'm basically dead. Like how did I end up in such an overleveled area? Anyway, the bigger issue is there's about 2 or 3 hours in, there's this quest line you have to do. So the lore kind of reason, so you're an Arisen, which from what I understand, again, I didn't play a ton of the first game, is there's like a dragon in this world that stabs you in the heart, takes your heart out of your body and eats it. And now you're the Arisen.
That sounds rad.
Yeah, that part's fine. It is kind of funny. It's like, why, like, you don't have a hole on you. You just have a scar. It's like, how is this person alive? But whatever. Who cares? It's fantasy.
It's because a dragon did it. That's all.
Because a talking magic dragon did it. Exactly. Yeah. So there can only be one Arisen in the world. So you're really special. But this world already had an Arisen. But you quickly find out that they must be a fake because you are the Arisen. So you're doing this kind of quest line to prove that they're fake. It goes on forever. It's super tedious. And you have to keep like sneaking into this castle like 3 different times. I'm not even done it yet. I got stuck because one of them's like, you need to go to the masquerade ball. Go find some formal wear. I have literally no idea where to find formal wear. I'm rocking armor and like chainmail. That's the only thing the blacksmith is selling. And because I was playing this pre-release, there's no guides. So maybe after this, I will Google formal wear Dragon's Dogma 2 because I was pretty stumped. Someone in the chat says dragons are well-known surgeons. That, for all I know about Dragon's Dogma, that might be real. I have no idea. that doesn't seem real, but like
probably,
I don't know,
not. Probably not real.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I've seen later videos of this game where things start looking rad, like you get like magic arrows and stuff and you do some really cool. So that's why I wanted to be this archer, because I knew there was going to be cool stuff eventually, but it's just taking a while to get there. I'm not enjoying the mission structure right now, and the combat is just a little too brutal for me, so I'm having a hard time. But seeing all these review scores is like, I'm going to give it more of a try. I'm only maybe like 6 to 8 hours in, I'm guessing. But you know,
maybe it's the case that you just picked a class that just starts rough but gets really good later on.
I'm hoping, but even if that's the case, like I would like the missions to get more interesting. Because like I feel like I'm just stuck doing this one long quest, and I just want to get away from it. But it's like, this is the story quest; you got to go through it, and there's like 9 parts to it or whatever. So yeah, I don't know. I'm having a bit of a rough time with it, but I'm going to give it a bit more of a try. And then, like I was just about to say, Final Fantasy's on the back burner, and it's like, I could just go play that. And I'm really enjoying that. So yeah, that's what I'm struggling with this week.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so if you didn't play anything else that you want to talk about, we can move on to some news.
No, all I did was play up across S Plus and the new Contra game.
I was hearing about a Picross game that was like early access on Steam, and it's from Jupiter.
Yeah, it came out of early access. It's from Jupiter. It's like Logic, Grimoire Logic or something like
that. Okay. Yeah. Any interest in that?
I already picked it up.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. I haven't touched it yet, but I was just like, yeah, screw it. Picross game, why not?
Yeah. Hopefully there's something unique. I'm kind of surprised it was like in early access. What, like, cause it's Picross. What do they need to like,
I'm not sure why test? Or what that means. So
maybe it means there's something cool and unique. I would hope so. Cause they probably got the Picross part locked down. So there must be something different about this one.
Who knows at this point?
Okay. Let's talk about a bit of news here. It seems like the PS5 Pro is real. Like, it's an actual thing.
No one is shocked. No one is shocked.
There was rumors for a while, and then specs over the weekend leaked. Just pulling up the full thing here now. Insider Gaming was the one that was reporting on this, based from this, like, YouTube video. So it seems like they're targeting later this year, which we were just talking. They don't have a lot of, like, exclusives lined up, so that's not great.
Said their first party stuff is next year, so
yeah, like they're it's going to be kind of a rough launch if they have like nothing exciting and new to be like, here's a brand new game. Get the new one to like really show off.
You'll
the
get
excitement.
Bundled with the latest Call of Duty, just like the Slim did. That's exactly what they're going to do.
I don't know, but Microsoft owns Call of Duty now.
Ooh.
So maybe they wouldn't allow that.
Hmm.
I don't know. Because, okay, yeah, that's a good question. Because for the last few years, Sony had the marketing deal with Call of Duty, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's still in place.
That might still be active.
I don't know. I don't know about that. That's interesting. Because you would think, I have to assume Xbox is like also going to do something similar, because they're not going to want Sony to have a more powerful console while they don't. So you would think they would want to bundle the Call of Duty, but maybe they can't because of like previous deals or something. I don't know. I don't know. That's weird.
Who knows? Maybe they do like a two game in one bundle where they throw in Spider-Man 2 and like God of War Ragnarok or something.
Yeah, the current Slims, the Spider-Man bundle is like the one that I'm always seeing. So, but then that's going to be a year old at that point. You would think a lot of people already have Spider-Man. Okay, some specs on it. The CPU is apparently going to be identical, but the Pro is going to have a high CPU frequency mode that brings the CPU up to 3.85 gigahertz, which will be a 10% increase over the current console. It's saying it'll be able to render 45% faster, handle 2 to 3 times more ray tracing, and then in brackets, 4 times in some cases. They also talk about being able to support up to 8K resolutions using this new upscaling method of their own called PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution Upscaling.
What a name.
Yeah, it's probably something they like patented or whatever. Who has an 8K TV? Like, who is sitting there being like, if only I could fully use my TV?
I'm sure someone does, but like that's just people who kind of chase all the bleeding edge stuff at this point.
I guess, yeah. It seems like a weird feature to get. But I'm hoping, because right now we have performance versus graphics mode in most console games, and that's a choice between, do you want 4K at 30 or do you want 1080p at 60? I'm hoping that gets bumped up to like we can do 4K at 60, 8K at 30, if that's something you want. Because being able to have like a locked 4K 60 would be great, not having to choose one or the other.
Yeah.
Especially if they could get ray tracing. I was just playing a game earlier today, starting it up, and my options were graphics, performance, or ray tracing. So it'd be nice if those could kind of combine a little bit.
What happens though if they can't? Like, what do you think? Is there no point in this thing at all if that's the case?
Yeah, like, I mean, we don't have all the specs. I'm looking through it, and I think they were saying it's going to have the same 1 terabyte as the Slim. So it's not like you're getting an increase in the storage. I mean, the PS5, you can swap the storage pretty easily, but at this point, why not put more in? Like, what are you doing? So, yeah, like, let me ask you, I don't know if this would even be, did you get any of the Pro consoles last generation?
I got a Pro console very late. The Xbox One I won in a raffle, and the PlayStation 4 Pro I bought off of a viewer, and that was like a couple years I think that was the same year the PS5 came out.
Okay. You just didn't want to just wait?
No, I just wanted the Pro model because I'm a collector. It's okay. What I wanted to use. Because I needed specific audio outputs for the setup here, and the Slim was missing that specific feature, so the Pro fixed it.
Weird, okay.
I was just confused. Like, there's no optical out on the Slim or something like that, and apparently that was causing some audio issues for my captures.
Sorry, I hadn't heard about that. Okay, well, that's good to know. Okay, so we both got the Pro consoles, so like, let me ask you, what would you want? Like, what would you want in a Pro PS5?
I barely use my PS5, so I don't know. Like, what was the jump between the 4 and the 4 Pro? I don't even remember at this point.
It was, like, true 4K. You could finally get, like, 4K graphics. Because the launch, the PS4 and the Xbox One weren't hitting those. I'm trying to think what else. I think they had bigger storage. I know the Xbox they got rid of the Kinect port. And the HDMI in,
very important.
So you didn't need, or the HDMI in, so you didn't need that anymore. What else did the Pro have? I think maybe it had a dedicated port for PSVR. I can't quite remember, but
I don't remember.
I'm sure,
like, it wasn't even that big of a jump, and I got it at a discount, which is kind of why I jumped on it. So like, this system's already expensive enough and I'm barely using it, so like, they gotta offer something wild on this. The fact they're not even trying to up like the storage is a surprise out of the gate. I don't know.
People in the chat are saying that the launch of the 4 and the 1 were 500 gigs and they went up to 1 terabyte. Yeah. I'm honestly surprised that the PS5 launched at 850 or whatever, 815. Like, it went
725. It was some weird number.
It went backwards. Like, that's insane. And then when they did the Slim, they only pushed it up to 1 terabyte. That's a little bizarre to me.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about this gen that's just been rubbing me the wrong way, which is the way they've been handling everything. So,
I was looking at the timeline when I was covering this for CNET on Monday when it broke and stuff. And the PS4 came out, it was like 2016. I think it was like 3 years after that we got the Pro. So this is 4 years after the 5. So it does line up. So
timeline wise, it makes sense. Yeah.
It just seems so early.
It's just weird because the Slim also dropped last year, like very recent-ish.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you go over to like Xbox side, we had those leaked documents where they had the cylinder one, but that didn't seem like it was more powerful. It was just a different form factor without the disk drive. So I'm very curious if Xbox is going to try and match this in some way. I can't imagine they would want to be behind power wise. They're already behind in sales.
Yeah.
And then I'm super curious what the price would be, because the Slim is 500. They did not lower the price when the PS5 Slim came out. I can't imagine they're going to launch a Pro One at 500. And then
it's going to be higher. It's going to be like 550 or 600.
I want to say probably 600, right? Like, which that's a lot. So
tough sell.
For me, 4K 60 would be huge, because I'm constantly picking 4K because I want to use my 4K TV. 1080p on my 4K TV doesn't look great because it's getting stretched so much because of the size of my screen. But then seeing the drop in frames is just kind of a bummer that I have to just kind of get used to, because I'm getting more, you know, dense grass or whatever, which I kind of prefer. But having both, that would be really nice. I feel like I wouldn't be like having to do this trade-off. I just don't know if it's like for like, you know, I have a sickness where I'm going to get it no matter what. Knock on wood, maybe I'll even get it from Sony for free. That's not unheard of these days. But if you're like a regular person, I don't know if that's enough. If you already have a PS5.
Very tough sell. Yeah.
We'll see. So targeting kind of holiday. So I'm assuming sometime in the summer we'll get like an official announcement. No visuals or anything like that announced so far.
Probably around E3 ish time.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, fake E3, whatever happens this year. Summer Game Fest time.
Summer Game Fest.
Sticking with Sony, there's a report that they have apparently halted production on PSVR 2 headsets that have failed to sell. So there's too many at the moment, so they're stopping making them and trying to sell through the product they currently have.
Gee, I wonder why that is the case.
Yeah, this thing seems like so forgotten from PlayStation and Sony.
Because it can play the VR 1 games, right?
No, it can't. You had, unless the developers had to, I think, like go back and do some work. So I think it's like hit or miss on depending on the game. I think Beat Saber came across, but I'm pretty sure it's not just one-to-one, because the controllers are completely different, right? They're not using the camera,
I guess,
anymore.
That makes sense.
So they're saying in the chat, it cannot play VR 1 games. Well, I mean, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago on one of the shows you weren't on, that there was a report coming out that they were looking at making it work on PCs. Which would be great because it'll open up that headset to for more people and more games. But the fact that it just isn't selling, that's I'm not surprised. You know, we see the state of plays, the PlayStation's live streams, and they like barely talk about VR. There's maybe like one or two games, and I think they just all look bad. Like I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, I'm the target audience for this. Like I like buy everything, blah, blah, blah. If I pick this up, I would get Horizon, I guess. And that's the end of that. And that's not worth $500.
Really doesn't help. It's almost the exact price. Well, it is the price of the system.
It is. Yeah. Yep. Yep. So I don't know. It's kind of like a chicken and egg problem. You need better games, but if they don't have enough people buying this, developers are not going to want to make games for it. So it's, you know, it comes down to Sony to have to like incentivize people. And it seems like they are not doing that enough. And yeah, and now it is not selling. They have too much of it. I'm curious if it'll improve or if this will just kind of be a slippery slope into seeing this thing drop to $200.
I'd buy it for $200.
Yeah, that I mean, even the PSVR 1, I didn't pick that up until I think it hit around $200. It was like a pretty crazy sale a few years into it. So people are saying in the chat, Gran Turismo 7 VR, I hear that's really cool, but it's, again, like one game, $500. All right, moving on. Overwatch. It was announced this week that all future heroes are going to be free. I bring this up because that was one of the changes when Overwatch 2 came out, is we're just putting it free to play. And now you through the battle pass, you buy heroes. And tied with some recent reports that like the story missions are like kind of nowhere to be seen, is it seems like Overwatch 2 is turning back into Overwatch 1. And I think that's pretty funny after all the turmoil they went through to launch Overwatch 2.
So what was the whole thing with the Cowboy Bebop promo they did too? I saw a post going around saying that for $25 you could buy one hero or you could buy the entire series of Cowboy Bebop on Blu-ray.
Yeah, so that was just one of their like crossover skins, similar to how, you know, Fortnite will do crossovers with like media properties. Overwatch is like slowly starting to do that, and they've done a couple so far, but I guess this is one of the higher profile ones, Cowboy Bebop. Their skins have been pretty expensive. I remember looking at when they did the Diablo one, they had my main Moira was like, they had a cool Lilith skin, but to get it, it was only as part of like a bundle with some like coins and some other stuff. So I would have had to pay $40 if I wanted my Moira to look like a Lilith. That's not going to happen. That's no way I'm putting $40 for a skin. So yeah, the skins are roughly $25 usually when they're not part of like these bigger bundles. But you're right. You can get Cowboy Bebop for pretty cheap.
I do recommend. Good series.
For sure. I wouldn't recommend the live action one, though. I could not make it through that season of T. And it got canceled. So I'm not the only one, I guess. All right, I can't remember which panel this was, but one of the panels, I think it may have been like the State of Unreal or something like that. We got our first look at the Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra game. This is the Captain America Black Panther game coming from Skydance New Media, Amy Hennig's studio. And we got a release date of 2025, which, you know, that doesn't mean anything this far out, but we have a new trailer. I think the visuals look great. I'm curious if these are just like pre-rendered cutscenes or not.
Yeah, I mean, nothing looked like actual gameplay.
Who knows? Like, I'm hoping this is what gameplay looks like, but for all I know, it could be pre-rendered. But it looks really nice. Like, this is a cool setting, a cool team up. So this trailer has me excited. 2025. And then, okay, I believe this was definitely during the State of Unreal because Epic announced at GDC that because of the whole EU regulations softening on the iPhone, blah, 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 at least in the EU, the Epic Game Store is coming to iPhones and Android by the end of the year. So they will have a separate storefront.
Interesting.
I'm kind of curious, like, what games will be on there, because, you know, you can't really put, like, full games, really. It'll be Fortnite for sure, and ways to buy V-Bucks. And then do you think they're just going to start making deals with mobile games?
Probably.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe indie games that have a mobile version, they start putting that on there. It's been a while since I was, like, looking at the Epic Store, but I wonder if they have any kind of crossover games like that right now anyways. I guess Hades would... No, because Hades has, like, it would have worked, but it has an exclusivity contract with Netflix now. But that could have been a game because it showed up on Epic originally. But anyways, EU has that to look forward to because they're lucky and we still have our locked down one. And time for some sad news. Velen Studios, the developers behind that Dodgeball game, which I'm forgetting the name of right now. Someone
Dodgeball
sent
City or the...
or Knockout City.
Knockout City, okay.
That one. And then the Mario Kart AR, your home circuit game. Seems like they're about to go through layoffs themselves. So just add that to the list. They haven't actually laid anyone off yet, but they basically put out a kind of an oddly behind the scenes note on Twitter saying of our 121 staff, 46 have given notice that they might get laid off in 2 months.
It's a weird way of wording
I'm trying to think, like, I guess a 2 month heads up is kind of nice so you can start planning.
Yeah.
But just like the uncertainty of it, it's like, okay, so now do I just
we don't know.
Do you just start like kissing ass and like working weekends or something? Like, how stressful would that be?
Do we know if they even have any active projects right now?
So in their little thing, they did mention that because of this. I'll just kind of read the quote here. A major project was suddenly canceled by an external partner, which means we may not be able to maintain our full studio size.
I had a feeling it'd be something like that.
In the near term, we are doubling down on our current games, some of which are scheduled to release later this year, and securing new partnerships to minimize the impact. So I don't think they have anything announced, at least not that I know. I can look it up real quick. But because they're not mentioning anything by name, I'm assuming these are... secret projects at the moment. Let's see, games. So yeah, they did Hot Wheels Rift Rally. That's the most recent thing on there. So they don't have anything announced yet, but theoretically something scheduled for this year. And they're just kind of trying to hang on, I guess. It's rough out there. And then also in weird news, Kotaku editor-in-chief resigns over new editorial edict. So I guess the owner of Kotaku decided instead of news, they're going to pivot to guides.
Why?
And the editor in chief was like, "Nah, I'm out. Thanks, but I'm good." Which I don't blame her. This is Jen Glennon was the editor in chief. This is their second editor in chief who has left in like 8 months. I think I saw someone say on Twitter.
Jesus.
It is a bummer because like, Kotaku is like kind of the place that I would go to for like breaking news game stuff since I was a kid. Like that was just like an institution. The switch to guides, I can only imagine it's because guides have like, it's a ton of views. People are constantly looking these things up, but
you
know, as someone who has worked at GameSpot and such, they are a lot of work.
Yeah, I saw something about apparently like the ROI is like it's a lot of work, but it brings in a lot more ad revenue and stuff, and it tends to be more search in general. So,
because people are coming to it constantly as the game progresses, as opposed to just like when the news is hot. There's a much longer tail, but the amount of like thoroughness and density is way above just like a breaking news piece. So if you're like a business suit who just cares about like the clicks, I could see why you would make that. But it is just a bummer being like, but this is a news institution that you are just like kneecapping for more clicks that like, yeah, it is definitely a bummer. Yeah, it is absolutely just it is a bummer for sure. I'm curious to see kind of what happens to Kotaku going forward, but I'm sure there will be other sites that will just kind of pop up that will take over like the news moniker.
I mean, there already has been going on Polygon and Giant Bomb and everything else. So
yeah, and you know, Game Informer, there's plenty of that kind of stuff. But Kotaku is just like such a like institution. It's been there for so long.
Yeah,
that it is a bummer seeing it get mismanaged over and over again. And last story here, I believe this was at some kind of talk at GDC. Larian Studios has announced that they were working on a Baldur's Gate 3 DLC. The quote is that their heart wasn't in it, so they canceled that. They are no longer going to do DLC for Baldur's Gate 3. They have no plans to do a Baldur's Gate 4. They are moving on to a different IP and leaving Baldur's Gate back with Wizards of the Coast. You know, I have two thoughts of this. One, I'm not surprised they spent so long on Baldur's Gate 3. It was in early access for like 3 years alone. Yeah. And then plus, you know, all the dev time before that, even getting to that point. It clearly paid off for them, but I could understand them being like burnt out on this one setting. They want to do something else. But then the other part of me is like, man, that game is so good. I would love more of it. But then like the realistic part of me is like, dude, you have so much more Baldur's Gate 3 to play. You don't need more Baldur's Gate. Like, it's already hard enough to see all of Baldur's Gate 3. So if you were wanting more, I don't know, start a new file and play an evil run or something, there's plenty of Baldur's Gate. All right, that's news. Let's do some questions. We got a few of them here. topdownperspective@gmail.com, @TDPpodcast on Twitter, or John's P.O. Box. You could sound like Rasterman, who writes, what are some video game tracks that just sound appropriate to listen to during rain or storms? I don't know if I have a specific one for like a rainstorm.
I don't have a specific example either, but I keep like the first thing that came to mind was something like Valhalla's music, or just like any film noir style game.
Okay. One that comes to mind for me is any of Coffee Talk's music, but that's probably because in that game it's like always raining, so I already kind of associate it with rain. I would want something just chill. I feel like that would kind of set the tone a little better, as opposed to like, you know, a lot of my favorite game soundtracks are kind of like high energy pumping music. But if we're talking rainstorms, I'm wanting like a chill lo-fi beats kind of thing.
See, that's the problem, is most of the game music I listen to is like the high energy stuff. So I'm just like, I have no examples. I have nothing I can pull from here.
Nothing. I'm the same. And I'm just, in general, my music is pretty high energy. So yeah, I don't have anything to pull from really, but Coffee Talk is, I guess, my answer.
All right, VGC Kenny says, what single-player game would you like some form of multiplayer for, whether it be cooperative or competitive? I would be curious how God Hand or Devil May Cry would work as a either cooperative or competitive multiplayer game. There is a game that's like that. I'm trying to remember what it is that's not just Anarchy Reigns.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how like competitive would work. I haven't played God Hand, so I'm thinking primarily of Devil May Cry, and all I can think is like those like anime arena fighters that suck.
It'd be more like a 3D fighting game, yeah, where it's just like, okay, I'm about to pull off like this touch of death combo.
Yeah, hopefully. Someone said multiplayer Balatro. Oh, that'd be interesting. I don't know how that would work exactly.
Balatro multiplayer would be interesting, yeah. But how would that even work?
Like,
I guess you could do competitive hands and just see, like, you could probably play some cards that would mess with the other player. Maybe that's, they would change some of the jokers. Yeah,
but mess in, like, some way, like, ruins the hands that they could play, because there's not, like, a health bar or anything.
Yeah, it would have to be just, like, you lower the amount of money they earn, or, like, give them, like, effects that just kind of lower their multiplier or chip count.
Or maybe something like Tetris's mode, where you're kind of all playing separately, but then you like combine together to like make something bigger. Maybe there's something kind of along that way. Man, Tetris Effect Connected is so cool.
I still have yet to play that version of it. I should try that out.
Oh, with the three multi, where they like form together, and then you have like one. That is so cool when that happens for the first time. You absolutely should. I think it's on Game Pass.
I think I have a couple versions of Connected. I just haven't like sat down and played it.
Yeah,
no, I played the original Tetris back, and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, there's some good Rainstorm music is the Tetris Effect soundtrack.
Oh yeah, there you go. Good pull there.
I'm saying Blatro 99. Okay, and it's just like, so it's on like a timer. And then whoever has like the least amount of chips that they've built with their hands so far would get like eliminated over and over. And then maybe every like five hands, you get the option to like buy some jokers or something. That might work. Blatro is so good. Have you played it yet?
Yeah, I have. I've done a couple runs.
It's so good, right? Like,
it's all right. I'm not super really big on it. I'm just like, I'll do like a run every couple of days. I'm just like, oh, okay.
Oh, when I do it, I'm like hooked. It's like, okay, just one more.
I don't know why. It did not get its hooks in me. I'm like, I can see why people like this, but I'm just like, eh.
Well, I can't remember. Are you into deck builder games?
I literally collect playing cards. Yes, I like deck builder games.
Okay. Huh. But it just didn't get you. Okay.
It's like, I guess I'll pop it out. I'll play it every now and then and be like, all right, I mean, this is cool. I'm good.
I've beaten it twice now, so pretty happy about that. Dead writes, Alan Wake 2 spooked Sean, and Resident Evil 4 VR puked Paul. Ugh, that's a weird way of wording that. but both were game of the years. John, what is your most painful best game? Painful best game.
Rock Band.
Do you have any
hand cramps? I guess
hand cramps. Yeah, I'm trying. I think you first need to like narrow this down to like what games are like painful in some way to you or off putting to you, but you like them, and then maybe go from there. If you have any like that,
I don't know if I have any like that. Elden Ring frustrated me. I mean, I guess I played Elden Ring out of spite. I guess.
Okay, that could work. Yeah, I'm even trying to think like outside of Alan Wake 2. It's pretty rare I'll stick with a game that is off-putting to me in some way. Like, I don't play a lot of horror games on purpose. Alan Wake, I got over that because of the story and the narrative. Yeah, I don't know. Elden Ring's a good answer. It's a great game. Are you going to play the DLC this June?
No idea.
No idea. All right.
We'll see what I'm doing in June.
Yep.
Phantomagus writes in and says, Ahoy, TDP crew. How valuable do you believe yourself to be in free-to-play games or games-as-a-service games? When I say this, I don't mean how much money you spent, because a player who pays $0, also known as NPUs, has value when it's just free-to-play. These players are just as important as paying users. Here are some important factors I'll provide to help you get a scale of your value to these free-to-play games and games-as-a-service. Number of times logged in weekly, session duration, skill level, interacting with paid users, word of mouth, and money spent. Well, the only one I'm active in that's kind of like this is Fortnite. And technically, I haven't spent any of my money because a couple of viewers will kick me money specifically for Fortnite.
Lucky you.
But, like, I'm still spending the money, so I guess, like...
Yeah.
I have value to Fortnite.
You are through you are giving Epic and Fortnite money. Yes.
Yeah.
If you weren't streaming or whatever it is, they would not be giving you the money to do that.
Yeah.
Actually, just side note real quick, because you brought up Fortnite. So Fortnite Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I did reach out to PDP. A Riffmaster guitar is showing up at my house tomorrow.
Very nicely done. You've got to tell me how it is.
here's the where the monkey paw curls.
Oh no.
Before they shipped it, I didn't mention which platform I wanted it for, and they are platform specific.
Oh no.
So I quickly emailed them like 30 minutes after I got the tracking info being like, oh, by the way, can I get Xbox? That's where all my Rock Band stuff is. And they didn't respond. So I don't know.
You don't know what version you're getting. Ooh.
So, like, if it's a PlayStation version, yeah, I can play Fortnite Festival. I can't play any of my
Here comes the
of
Switch
Rock Band
version.
Songs. So it's like, I guess this will just go in the office because I don't need a PlayStation guitar here. But like, man, that would be such a bummer.
That would be really
funny.
Because
I have a full band kit for I have enough guitars for the Xbox, but it'd be nice to have the new one.
Yeah.
On my core primer. So here, everyone cross your fingers. I need you to like spirit bomb for me that the right one shows up tomorrow. But yeah, anyway, like I said, I wasn't going to buy one, but if I could get one from PDP, then yes, I will let a third. I already have three. I will let a fifth guitar into this house.
That's a jump from three.
Yeah, because I remembered I have two Rock Band ones, the Guitar Hero Live one, and I have the old 360 guitar one that I bought like a year ago. So I have four in the house right now, and a fifth one is showing up. And all I can say is don't be like me. It's not worth it. Let me do this and then live vicariously through me. But I guess I'll talk about that next week. I'll bring it on the show and show everyone next week. Anyway, back to the value. I'm trying to. Okay, so right now it's Overwatch 2 is my free to play game right now. I probably play it 3 times a week for about, I don't know, 45 minutes. That's about 3 matches. That allows me to complete like the play 3 games daily. Skill level, I think I'm okay at it. I'm usually one of the higher ranked people in my session, but I'm not playing competitively, so I don't have like a ranking number. I'm always playing the unranked mode. Interacting with paid users, I don't know how to quantify that.
I think that depends on like, because certain like gacha games, for example, like you can like be in guilds and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, the only way I would know if I'm playing with a paid user is if they have like a paid skin. That's all I'd be able to. So there's no way I'm tracking that. Word of mouth? Like, am I telling people about Overwatch 2? Have you heard the good word of Overwatch 2? I don't think I'm really doing. I talk about some of the news on the show. I don't know. Money spent. So that's an interesting one. It's very similar to yours, is I get the battle passes, like codes for them sent to me. Yeah. So I don't think I've put any money into Overwatch other than when I bought Overwatch 1. I think I put any money in ever since. So I'm not putting, but well, no. So even the battle pass code, it's coming from Blizzard. So they're just eating that fee. So I'm not giving them any money. All right, last question. Suku, what would go into a controller designed exclusively to you?
Electronics, hopefully.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Anything specific, though?
See, that's what I'm conflicted on. I would probably, like, I'm torn if I want a 6-button layout on the front, because then it'd be perfect for fighting games. Like, a 6-button layout, a really good D-pad, solid sticks, nice form-fitting comfort, and solid, like, triggers.
Yeah, I think I would want... I want the form factor of the Xbox Series controller. I want it to have, like, rubber grips, like the anniversary controller that I have. I don't want it to just be smooth plastic like the default one or the default PlayStation one is. I like the rubber grips, so it's, it really locks into my hand. I don't think I need back buttons. Do you want back buttons on yours?
I don't have any controls with back buttons.
Well, you have the Steam Deck.
Oh, yeah, and I don't even use those buttons, so.
That's what I'm saying. I have the Steam Deck, too, and I rarely use them. The one time I do use them is if I'm playing a visual novel, I'll set one of the left ones to A so that I can play it one-handed.
Ah, smart. They're cool to have, but like I've never had a need to program them for anything.
I'm like not seriously competitive enough. So, yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think I want the rumble features of the DualSense. Those are cool. It's just a better rumble than the Xbox has.
Yeah,
so give me the adaptive triggers as well. I don't really want the touchpad. I feel like that's just like one big button. And anytime
really
they want me to swipe on it, I'm like, can we just not? like, please.
The only use of the swiping that I've had no issues with is when they're like, oh, just slide over to move the map around or something like that. That's fine. But like,
I think I'd rather just do that with the analog stick too, though.
Fair. That's entirely fair.
And that's the same with, like, I don't need it to have gyro controls. And anytime a game asks me to, correct, like, move, yeah, the, I was like, please don't. Can we turn this off? And usually most games now will let you turn it off. Even Splatoon lets you turn it off. That's what I would rather have.
If it's wireless.
Good, apps for sure. Yeah. I have the Xbox, like a first party rechargeable batteries. That one's pretty good. It's definitely better than the DualSense. I'm kind of shocked we're this far into the DualSense's lifespan and they have not updated that.
I mean, if anything, they've gotten worse over the years because, like, the PS4 was already pretty bad, and then the PS5 somehow even worse. Yep.
And then when the DualSense Edge, their Pro Controller, came out, it was also worse.
Oh my god!
Right?
How?
They're just nickel and diming. Like, they're skimming so much off the top over and over again. Like, what are you doing? And then Xbox is over here being like in third place. Like, please buy our console. We'll just give it to you. Please subscribe to Game Pass. And people are saying, like, yeah, the Portal, it has a similar battery life. In the chat, they're saying 3 to 4 hours. I feel like it's closer to the 6, but it probably depends what games you're playing.
It depends on, like, brightness and settings and stuff like that.
Sound, audio, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I think I just want, like, the Xbox Series controller that I have, but I want the updated Rumble, which that was also part of the those leaked documents with the cylinder one, is that there is maybe a better Rumble controller coming. So I'm excited for that if that's real. Anything from the Switch? The Switch's controller has great battery life.
Yeah.
So I'll take that battery life.
That's probably the only thing I'd take from the Switch, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Switch Pro controller is basically already an Xbox One. Like, they're not even really that different. Well, the D-pad's better, relatively. But yeah.
Nice thing about the Xbox is, like, they've, like, tripled down on customizable colors. Like, that's really cool. You can just design your own one. So that's fun as well.
I do wish other companies would do that. That's what I really like about Xbox, like the design lab. But I do wonder, they're probably going to eventually shut that down, right? Because, like, they can't be, like, making them that much money.
They seem to keep adding new, like, versions of designs to do it. And I think they had it from last generation. So it must have done well enough for them to move it forward. So, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised they don't have a similar mentality with the console itself, because Sony lets you take the panels off and buy new panels. They're too expensive. They're like $60, which is kind of crazy for colored panels. And considering,
I can't,
like,
say
Xbox
much I have them.
I have them too. Well, I got them sent to me, so it doesn't really count. But it's kind of funny because, like, the 360 was, like, kind of the first one that did that. And then they just, like, since then, no. And they had some, like,
by the end of the 360, they weren't even doing the custom faceplates anymore when they had all the different models. Like, the Slim didn't do it. The Elite didn't do it.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised that they didn't, like, want to do that again. And it would be pretty easy for the 360. I guess, hang on. Not the 360. The Series X, I meant, because it's just a square. It would be super easy, but they do have Starfield panels that you can, like, put on top, don't they?
Something like that. And they tend to do a lot of custom consoles too, but they do them for, like, giveaways and contests.
Yeah. So that, like, barely counts, because that's, everyone does that. But
yeah,
I mean, Xbox does more of them, but yeah, that since I can't do that, like, it barely counts. So I don't know. Maybe with their next one, they'll do some weird stuff. Okay. That's going to do it for questions. If you want to send in questions for next week, topdownperspective@gmail.com, @TDPpodcast on Twitter, the Discord channel, or John's P.O. Box. Do you have a game of the week?
I guess Contra Operation Galaga.
Okay, there you go. Are you liking that?
Yeah, it's all right.
Cool. And I guess I'll give it to Dragon's Dogma 2. Like, I'm not hating my time with it, but I really did not play much Final Fantasy. So, anyways.
Fair enough.
We'll be back next week. Thanks everyone for listening. See you then.
All right, bye everybody.